The music of the 1950s coming up in an unusual project in the year 1950. This was before rock and roll, and we think of the songs then as wholesome and tame, maybe, but they were innovating. Patti Page was a famous vocalist, and we shan't play much of this. If someone turns on the radio during this, they'll think they've time-travelled. But she used overdubbing. She was the first singer to overdub her voice. So on the record here, it says the Patti Page Quartet, but it was just Patti. And that was basically because there was no money to pay for backup singers. So here's how that sounded in 1950.
True, I'm holding you close to my heart. With my eyes wide open, I'm dreaming. You're with me now, sharing a vow.
I thought all four of them sang well on that. Jim, my son lives in London and has recently had a baby girl. This has sparked his new music venture. Check it out here on the website Four Times Life, as I'm sure you'll like it. Tessa. Thank you, Tessa. Thomas Scovell, hello.
Hi there.
Your mum was right. Your website is unusual. It's called Four Times Life. Can you explain, Thomas, what you've set out to do?
Sure. So, I mean, I've recently just been blessed with having my first child, Sadie. I was kind of looking for a daddy-daughter project for us to enjoy together. Listening to music seemed to be something that a three-week-old child could do and which she might still be interested in doing in sort of 10 years' time. So basically every week, her and I are listening to the pop charts from a month gone by. So we're starting off in 1950 and we're going up until the date that we started this month, September 2020. But because we're doing a month every week, we're kind of doing it at four times the speed of regular time, hence the name Four Times Life. So to make that sort of tangible, in 3 months, we listen to a year worth of charts, or a decade's worth in 2.5 years. It's going to take us 16 years in total to listen to the 70 years of time that have passed since 1950, which feels like a nice project for us to enjoy as she grows together.
And it's original. What is Sadie's assessment of the music so far?
To be honest, anything that doesn't make her cry outrageously is a positive. she burbles away. I try and encourage her when she's awake enough. We do a bit of a dance together, which helps soothe the savage beast, as musicers want to do, which is great.
Excellent. And where are you up to? So you started at the beginning of 1950, did you? So where are you up to?
We're currently just up to April 1950. So it's been that'll be the fourth week, basically. So ticking along, but so by Christmas we'll be into 1951.
Right. How are you finding the music of 1950? I don't think we remember it that well, of course, those of us who weren't alive. So how are you finding it?
Well, I mean, it was 27 years before even old I was born. And, you know, obviously, you know, you're exposed to it in various sort of historical kind of TV shows, movies, and, you know, some of the tunes that kind of stick around. But most of it I'm not particularly familiar with. It all sounds like what I expected the 1950s to sound like. But I think as I dig into the music more and more, what I'm finding is the similarities between the pop charts and the themes of the songs back then and today. They might not sonically sound the same, but there's still a lot of surprising similarities.
Okay, everything changes and everything stays the same. Yeah?
Exactly.
Okay. Before we delve more into Four Times Life, what do you do in your life, and how long have you been away from Aotearoa? I understand you've won a number of international awards for what you do.
I work in advertising. I've been lucky enough to work for some great agencies back in New Zealand, Clemenger, BBDO in Wellington. And I do the same thing up in here in London. So I've been here 7 years now, so my wife and I both work in advertising.
Okay. I love the way you write about each month's popular history. So the first Volkswagen van rolled off the assembly line early in 1950 to become a staple of hippie culture. Decades before the public voted to christen a boat Boaty McBoatface, voters in the resort town of Hot Springs, New Mexico, decided to change the town's name to Truth or Consequences. How come? Can you tell us the story?
It's essentially a dare from a radio host at the time who wanted to promote his show. So it's almost the kind of thing that happens today, but these days they give the name across to maybe social media and say, what should we name? In the case of Boaty McBoatface, it was that new vessel that was launching. So it's that same kind of thing.
And Hot Springs, New Mexico is still called Truth or Consequences?
Apparently.
The 1950s were more into singing about infidelity than you expected. Music began to use overdubbing. Payola became a big issue in the trade papers that you've been reading. Remind us of what payola was, if you wouldn't mind, Thomas.
Payola was essentially when radio DJs were paid by the record labels or artists themselves to play a particular song on air rather than simply because they liked it, which would then push it up in the charts and would then consequently drive sales. And there's some quite frank articles, because it wasn't illegal at the time, it was just sort of frowned upon, where people were quoted as saying, well, I can get much better money for paying a few of your DJs than I can for buying some advertising off you, Radio Station X, so why wouldn't I do that?
Turned into a massive scandal, didn't it?
Absolutely.
Helen Clark, born in Hamilton, you chronicle a lot, and there wasn't any stereo yet. As I alluded to before, we think these may have been the graveyard years of music before Bill Haley came along, but there was some cracking music, you know, as well as all the songs like I Got Into My Pajamas and Put On My Prayers, which I've discovered on your site. There was some cracking music. I mean, I don't think we'll play that. They've always made good music, Thomas.
Oh, no, absolutely. I think that's one of the things I'm really excited about, is discovering, you know, great music from across the decades that I wasn't exposed to. And hopefully being able to do the same thing with Sadie. And to be honest, maybe this is all just really an excuse for me in 5-10 years' time, when I get up to the 90s, which is my own youth, to have an excuse for her to have to listen to that music and discover what I loved when I was a kid, because she'll be going on about what kids listen to in the 2030s.
I'll tell you what, it'll be a sad day. It's like reading to children. It'll be a sad day when you see that look in her eyes which says, I don't want to do this anymore with you, Dad. That's going to happen.
I know. But now I have a very captive audience, so I'm enjoying it while I can.
Yeah, we all do that in our own way. But yours is a very different way. Where did you find the old clips of early TV shows that you've got on your site?
They're all from YouTube. It's amazing. I actually thought I might have trouble both finding what was on the charts at the time and actually finding the music. But YouTube has basically everything you could ever wish for.
We're talking to Thomas Scovell about Four Times Life. And it's not just you bunging old songs and putting a couple of comments on. You write quite extensively. This is a reasonably time-intensive project for you as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a hobby. And I think one of the reasons, to be honest, I put it on a website and talked to people about it was as a public commitment. And if I told people about it, I'd have to stick to it. If I just did it for myself, I'd probably have already given up. it may turn into a bit of an ordeal some weeks as you know, work and life gets hectic. But I think in some form, I should be able to every week, put up a few tunes and say what I think about them.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your time, which went by quite quickly in our case as well. Are you getting good feedback?
Yeah, I'm getting great feedback from people. I think people have shown interest both in listening along to the tunes and maybe even in trying a version of it themselves. We'll see.
Well, you still have the Kiwi accent thoroughly. So are you going to be coming back here, you and the family, at any point, or are you happily ensconced up there now?
We're deciding that. You know how it is when you've got a new family, sort of priorities change. So we were definitely missing the family back home, and we haven't got to introduce Sadie to them yet because of COVID. So we'll be back for sure when lockdown eases a little bit to introduce her to the family.
Yeah, we're all up in the air, aren't you? And you're heading into winter.
Yeah. So it's not great. So it'll probably be, I guess, next summer by the time we're able to do that. But so we'll look forward to it.
Your website cheers people up. It must do. So before we go, you must also choose the song from 1950 that you think we should listen to most.
One I'd definitely recommend would be Dairy by Ray Bolger and Ethel Merman. It's a comedy duet, and I'm finding there's a lot of comedy duets in 1950, and they're just typically a guy and a gal singing at each other, often sort of teasing each other, in this case about being old. And it's just really fun. It makes you smile, which I think right now we could all do with something that does that.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, well done on Four Times Life, Thomas. It's a clever idea and very good of you to talk with us.
No worries. Thanks.